And on this first Sunday of Lent, our Old Testament lesson comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. It's on page 143 and here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. Moses was preaching his last sermon to the people before they entered the promised land. They were waiting on the plains of Moab. And Moses had been told by God that he would not enter the promised land with the people. Joshua would lead them. So Moses says, "When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us.' The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household." And here ends the reading from Deuteronomy. The gospel lesson today is the story of the temptation of Jesus that we find in Luke. So it's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. It's page 727. And here, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation, which is a little bit different than the one in the pews. "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone.' Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 'I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them,' the devil said, 'because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me.' Jesus replied, 'The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.' Jesus responded, 'The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God.' When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." And here ends the lesson from the gospel. And finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament is verses from Romans chapter 10, the second half of verse 8 through verse 13, and it's page 802 and here. Paul the Apostle wrote to the church, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And here ends the lesson from Romans. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're in Lent. The 40 days plus Sundays, so 6.5 weeks plus Sundays, or 7 weeks minus the Sundays, of the time of preparation that we are given every year for Easter. Lent, the word comes from the Old English lengthen, which means springtime. So if you're in Alaska, it's not really looking like springtime, but my daughter-in-law texted me a picture of our granddaughter sitting outside yesterday in Houston, and she was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. So clearly, springtime is coming. Lent is the season of penitence. So in Lent, I don't say Alleluia after the benediction, right? 1 year for the kids' message, we got balloons, and we said the balloons meant Alleluia, and we put balloons under a big box and kind of hid the Alleluias for the 40 weeks of Lent. The balloons died. I didn't tell the kids I just got new ones, right, on Easter. And then we let them out, and they rose to the ceiling. So Lent is a season of penitence. So Alleluia disappears from the language of the church. It's a season of repentance and preparation. On Wednesday night at 7, 19 of us gathered for Ash Wednesday worship. We received ashes as a sign of our mortality and our penitence, and we received them in the sign of the cross as a sign that we belong to Jesus and that the Holy Spirit has marked us as God's own forever. In Lent, many of us practice the traditional Lenten disciplines of prayer and fasting, of acts of charity, of relinquishing something. Many of my Facebook friends have now just let the word be known. By Facebook, I'm off until Easter, or television, or some of us fast from chocolate or alcohol, or we take on a discipline of additional prayer or scripture reading. And the purpose of those spiritual practices is to draw us closer to God, for making space, room in our lives for God to work. The purpose of Lent, of these spiritual disciplines, is for emptying ourselves so God can fill us up. And so to do that, we must begin in the wilderness, in the desert. Lent always begins in the desert wilderness. This year, the sermon series through Lent is called God on the Move, because a great metaphor for Lent is a journey. Jesus' ministry, which begins as soon as his temptation is over, Jesus' ministry was itinerant. He was moving from one place to another through every human experience. And so in Lent this year, we're talking about God on the move in our lives. So moving is a universal human experience. How many people in this room have ever changed houses? Okay, right? It happens all the time. For a long time, at least until we moved to Alaska, Paul and I had moved either one year less than the number of years we'd been married. So when we'd been married 12 years, we'd moved 13 times. And when we were married 14 years, we'd been moved 15 times. Okay, so it was a part of the early years of our marriage. Now we've lived in this house, like 17 years or something. So we broke the record. But moving, even if you don't have the military, you know, calling your name, moving is a universal human experience. And it leads to opportunities, but it also involves a lot of stress. And any kind of move presents a challenge that leads to self-discovery, right? So in Lent, we move inward as we move toward the cross, and we move deeper into the story of Jesus so that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit and learn what God wants us to know about ourselves. Jesus' first move in his ministry was to the desert, first Sunday of Lent. Always tells the story of the temptation of Jesus. The story of the temptation comes immediately after Jesus' baptism. So we celebrated the baptism of Jesus at the beginning of the season of Epiphany, right? in January, in early January, but the story of the temptation comes in Luke's gospel right after the story of Jesus' baptism. And Luke wants us to know that the Holy Spirit, Luke talks about the Holy Spirit all the time. He wants us to know that the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in Jesus' life. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Luke says, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, where he was tempted and fasted for 40 days. I think it's really important that the only plausible, all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of the Gospels that tell the story of Jesus in a chronological way, right? The Gospel of John is very different. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story of the temptation of Jesus. And it's really important to realize that the only plausible source of the temptation story is Jesus himself, right? We do not hear that the disciples were with Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert, right? And many of the stories in scriptures, there is corroborating evidence or another sort of story in ancient texts, like, you know, the story of the flood, and, you know, there's archaeological evidence of the temple in Jerusalem and David, but there's no Jewish tradition that talks about the Messiah being tempted. So the only way that this story shows up in Matthew and Mark and Luke's gospel is because Jesus told somebody, right? I think that's really important. So, Jesus is tempted in the desert, and he's fasting for 40 days. We are meant to see so many parallels between the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert and the story of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, right? And also Moses on Mount Sinai, he was there for 40 days. How many years did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? 40, right? Did the children of Israel hunger in the desert? You bet. Were they thirsty in the desert? You bet. Was their bread provided for them? Yes. Were they tempted? You bet, by many different kinds of temptation. So we see hunger and bread and the idea of 40 days or 40 years. We're meant to see here that Jesus stood strong up to temptation when Israel couldn't. So we're meant to see that Jesus is the new Israel on some levels, and Jesus is standing up and kind of retelling the story of the children of Israel in the desert. So he was led into the desert. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led into the desert, and he fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry. No kidding, right? If I fast for a day, I'm starving. And the devil comes to Jesus and basically says, our text says if, but that for us, I think, thinks that maybe the devil is doubting that Jesus is the Son of God. It really should say since, okay? The devil knows Jesus is the Son of God. So the devil comes to Jesus and he says, well, since you're God's Son, act like it. You're hungry? You're in the wilderness. There's nothing but rocks here. Turn one of these stones into a loaf of bread. Just one, and you'll eat. Devil says, since you're the Son of God, you want power? I have it. I have power. You can have all the kingdoms of the world. The devil says, they're mine. The devil says, you want to prove that you're really God's Son? Takes him to the highest point of the highest tower in the temple in Jerusalem. Devil says, you want to prove to everyone that you're really God's Son? See this tower? Jump off it, and God's angels will protect you. Scripture says, devil quotes Psalm 91. Penelope, isn't that the one you're meant? No? Psalm 92, maybe. Okay, so the devil quotes scripture. He quotes the psalm that Ruth just read. Okay? The angels will carry you so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. So, a couple things. The devil does tell the truth sometimes. The devil is called the great deceiver, but he does tell the truth sometimes. And we could have a whole long 2-hour discussion about the devil. And if you're picturing somebody in your head, sort of with pointy horns and a long forked tail and dressed in red or fiery, it's whatever the image of the devil, you know, I don't, nobody has a picture of the devil, but the devil is originally called Lucifer, which the word Lucifer has a, has its root word in the word light, right? So you could argue that the devil was the most handsome person in the world, right? So whatever you need to think about the devil, he does tell the truth sometimes. Jesus is God's son. Since you're God's son, the devil is not arguing that. The devil does have some authority. He does have authority over some of the kingdoms of the world, right? The ultimate battle has already been won in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the devil does have some authority down here. But he has things completely wrong. He says to Jesus, "Do you want all the glory without any of the suffering?" Jesus knows the journey that he's beginning. "Doesn't might make right?" the devil is saying. "Don't you want scientific proof that you're the Son of God, that you can do anything you want to?" But with each temptation, Jesus answers with scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy. Devil says, "Turn these stones to bread." Jesus says, "People don't live by bread alone." And if we continued that reference, that verse, it would say, "But by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The devil says, "All of this is yours, all the kingdoms of the world, if you'll just worship me. Just, you know, say, 'Devil, you're God.'" Jesus comes back with words from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Worship and serve have the same root. And the devil then kind of gets on board with what Jesus is doing, and the devil quotes scripture. He quotes from the worship book of the ancient church, from the Psalms. "You can do this. Just fling yourself down, throw yourself down, and the angels will bear you up." And Jesus at that point is done and says, "It's also written, 'Don't test the Lord your God.' The word is near you. It's in your mouth and your heart," Romans says. Because Jesus knows scripture by heart. He grew up as a Jewish boy going to temple. And we don't know if Jesus could read. Not very many people can read. I think it's 10% of the population in Palestine at that time. I don't know. Probably 10% of the men, because women weren't taught to read. Jesus knows scripture by heart. Did anybody grow up in Sunday school where you got gold stars for memorizing scripture? Some of us did. Okay? I did. I got a lot of gold stars, okay? I can't remember the address anymore a lot of times, but I have a lot of pieces of scripture in my head and my heart. The confirmation kids that I've been, you know, having so much fun with over this year are getting ready to be confirmed on Easter Sunday, and each of them is not only going to memorize the Apostles' Creed, but also a psalm. Each of them. And so last week we let them choose their psalms that they're memorizing. And there may be another passage of scripture too in there, because those are smart kids and they can do it. But they'll have those, the Apostles' Creed, that passage of scripture in their heart and in their lives. And I believe the Holy Spirit guides them as they memorize. Jesus goes back to Deuteronomy, the foundation story of God's people. Moses and the children of Israel are waiting on the plains of Moab. And they're high up, and the Jordan River is in a deep valley. And maybe they're in a place where they can see across the Jordan. If it's a clear day, they could maybe see all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, because Moab is east of the Holy Land. And they can see the Holy Land, which is a land flowing with milk and honey. Back then it was forested. Now it's a desert. A lot of it's a desert, but it was forested. And Moses says to the children of Israel, after they've been wandering for 40 years and being tested and tempted and failing God and each other so many times, Moses says to them, "When you go down into that land, a land of blessing and plenty, flowing with milk and honey, you need to remember your own story. And Moses basically gives them a creed when we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, right? The Apostles' Creed. Moses said, here's your creed. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt. That's Jacob, right? Who went down into Egypt and took his people after Joseph was there. We told the story of Joseph a couple weeks ago. This is your story, Moses says to the people. You were wandering and had nothing, and you went down into Egypt and became a great nation, but the Egyptians enslaved you, and then Moses delivered you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. That's what God did. That is your story. Remember that story when you're doing well, Moses says to the people. And Jesus, 1,500 years later, remembers that story. And it's powerful enough, strong enough, that he can stand up to the strongest temptation. C.S. Lewis says, it's only the one who's faced the strongest temptation who knows the full strength of it. Right? It's only the one who's faced the strongest hurricane, or in our case, it's only the ones who have experienced the most powerful earthquake, right? Who know the full strength of the storm. So for Jesus, he stood up to the most powerful temptation when he was lost and alone in the desert. And remember how that text ends. The last verse says, so the devil left him until the next opportunity came. So Jesus told this story to the disciples, or we wouldn't have it. But he didn't tell them of all the other times that the devil must have come and whispered in his ear and said, since you're the Son of God, act like it. So, when we're in the desert of temptation or sorrow or struggle, we know that Jesus walked there too, walks there too. And during these 40 days of Lent and after, God's Spirit is working in us and through us and with us, teaching us to stand up to temptation and to grow deeper with him. So I have a challenge for you in these 40 days of Lent, that it not be only the four confirmation students who are memorizing scripture. I challenge you to find a passage of scripture. With them, I gave parameters. You can't find the shortest psalm in the Psalter, which is two verses, okay? So we had some discussion. But with you all, I won't give you parameters. If you want suggestions, I got suggestions. I challenge you to ask God's Spirit to show you a scripture to memorize for this Lent. To learn it by heart. Maybe it's For God So Loved the World, and there's a lot of verses that come after that one, okay? Whatever it is, if you want to share it with me or somebody, share it. I'd love to know. But if you want to keep it close to your heart, I challenge you to let the word dwell in your heart. To memorize God's word. So that when temptation does come, you can stand up to it. Because God is powerful and he will do it. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for Jesus and for his wilderness journey and for the way in which he stood up to temptation. We pray for the strength and courage to let your word dwell in our hearts, that when temptation comes to us, as it always does, we too will find the courage and strength to face it and to grow stronger and deeper with you this Lent. We pray in your Son's holy and mighty name. Amen.
As we prepare to give ourselves to God through our tithes and our offerings, here are some of the ways that our congregation serves God. One of them is the auction. Auction is April 6th. Bring sellable stuff. John, you got a plane? You got a plane you want to sell? You got a plane? And also on the 23rd of September, 23rd of March, I'm sorry, 23rd of March, there is a Ladies' Day retreat at the Peters Creek Inn. We're going to bake bread, and the sign-up sheet is in the back. Today, after the service, is the second Sunday social, so please stay for that. And now, will the ushers please come forward?